Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and believe it or not, even in these strange, strange days, Tasting Room Radio carries on. Well, actually, what we're doing is we're looking back. We're looking back at three events that were set up ready to go for 2020. They were the Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Pour in Vancouver, and it had to cancel. So we went back and re-ran some of those interviews that we did over the last couple of years. The other was Locals Only, which is a ferry boat load of artisans from Vancouver Island, spirit, beer, cider, winemakers, all showing up in Vancouver and pouring. They also had to cancel. And so we went back and talked to those guys from last year. Here's the third of the three. It is Top Drop, which has been going on for 5 or 6 years now. Curtis Colt. I'd follow him anywhere. This is a great small wine festival, and you'll hear people talk about it saying it's just the best. It's simply the best. They know what they're doing, and they only invite the very best people, not the most fancy schmancy people, just the very best, who take care of their land, who are honest about their wines. They don't mess with the wines. They're honest people. And so everybody tries to get in there, but there's a limited amount of wineries can be there at any given time. So here's who we're going to talk to on this show. David Patterson from Tantalus, Curtis Colt, DJ Kearney, and then the Pender boys, Paul and Reese Pender. Reese Pender, of course, we know is a master of wine and one of the co-founders of Little Farm in the Similkameen. He teaches everybody wine. And Paul Pender, who was named Winemaker of the Year in Ontario, I think in 2011. He makes wines for Taws. They were the Canadian Winery of the Year in 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2016. That's how good they are. He also makes wines with Jim Cuddy and Colin Cripps. It's called The Cuddy. So the Pender boys together. We're going to talk to Christine Coletta from Okanagan Crush Pad. Grant Beggs, who at the time was the winemaker at Kitsch. He has moved on. He's hiding out in someone else's cellar. There's enough information that I wanted you to know about Grant Biggs so that when he does show up, you'll know him. And more importantly, I want you to know about Kitsch Wines, okay? Tyler Knight, one of the founders and winemakers at Lightning Rock. Larry Jarellis from Stags Hollow. Michael Schindler from A Sunday in August. And finally, Dan Wright from Unsworth, representing Vancouver Island. So that's what's upcoming now. I just want to let you know that next week, one of the few female mezcal masters in all of Mexico, in Oaxaca. We're going to give you some highlights on Swirl and Untapped in Parksville. We're going to go find Chef Ned Bell, who's back on the Naramata bench. We're also going to catch up with Anne Sperling, who's in Ontario, but we'll be talking about Sperling Vineyards in Kelowna. And any suggestions you have, let us know. If you're ready, let's visit Curtis Colt's Top Drop, Vancouver and Victoria. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first, remember Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And chef and partner Derek Gray said, now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe. Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days. Take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. One more thing, the suites are still open for business. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We take you back to Top Drop Vancouver once again. I believe this is our fifth year, and our contact with this organization is Curtis Colt. And once again, he and his partner have gathered some of the finest principals, winemakers, and owners in one room. It's just astonishing how they are able to pull this off. It has come to this, my friends.
We have removed ourselves from the roundhouse so that we could find solace. We're in the men's washroom, and I'm speaking with Curtis Colt, actually, in the lobby. He is the co-founder of Top Drop Vancouver. This is year five?
This is year five.
First of all, tell me about year one in Calgary a couple of days ago.
We had 24 wineries. We had a bunch of fantastic Alberta craft breweries, some great restaurant partners, Rodney's, Donna Mac, and so on. And it was really exciting, and it was a good recollection of what year one here was like.
How has it changed since 2014? I'm looking at this list. It's longer, it's bigger, it's more involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were an unknown entity when we first started, and so we really had to get people on board and make promises. We're going to deliver some great trade and media. We're going to have a fantastic crowd at night. And, wineries are like, okay, we'll give it a whirl. And now it's come to the point that a lot of wineries are coming to us before we have the chance to come to them.
Is there a limit?
There's a limit. You know, we love being here at the Roundhouse in Vancouver. It's such a beautiful venue, and so we kind of cap it at around 40. We like people to be able to do the whole room.
Yeah,
if they have the stamina to actually go table to table and do it. So this is a really comfy size for us here.
And you do it alphabetically, which is a beautiful thing.
We do it alphabetically because, you know, we want people to go through and see the diversity of wines here. We don't want people, you know, who maybe assume they don't like Australian wine, but maybe they just haven't been having the right Australian wines. For example, Alpha Box and Dice here.
Exactly.
From McLaren Vale. We had some Pusey Vale, Eden Valley Riesling, really crisp, right? We had Yalumba Viognier, lovely stuff. Montalto Chardonnay from Mornington Peninsula, love it.
Has Ridge been here before?
Ridge was here for year one.
They
had our backs. Yes, one of our things is also you can never do back-to-back years at Top Drop, so okay. It's always a very fresh slate. But year five, they have returned bigger and better than ever.
I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. I see Bella's there. I want to find out what's going on with Jay. Is he pouring his big bottles?
He's pouring some magnums. He's pouring half bottles. He has so many varieties of bottles that he does. Lots of great sparkling Gamay, his Pet Nat. We have some champagne. It's pretty fun.
And to their, Curtis, to their credit, year one, 2014, I wrote down Blue Mountain and Tantalus were here on that year.
Yes, they've been great supporters of Top Drop. We love their wines. And Dave Patterson, Christy Mavidi, wonderful people.
This is you and a small team of people this together.
My partner, Jeff Curry, it was two of us who started this. We have a tiny team of some of the best sommeliers and retailers in the city who have put this together. It's the event we want to see, and it's really resonated with the public.
And where's the best place to find information? Post, obviously.
Topdrop.ca.
Okay, the website.
Yes, that's the website that'll give you everything you need to know.
All we need is Top Drop Victoria, and we're home free.
Okay, yes, we'll come to you next year.
Thank you, Curtis.
All right, thank you, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio. We're at Top Drop Vancouver, year five. DJ Curdy, were you here in 2014 at the beginning?
Of course I was. Isn't this a great little festival? It's grown and grown. It's a fixture now.
I was just saying to Curtis that his batting average for winemakers and co-founders and proprietors of these wineries is sensational.
It is. You know, people want to meet the blood and guts of the winery. And, you know, Curtis is really well connected. And that was the ethos of this festival. It's a great little indie one. And they're flocking here. There's a long wait list.
And you are setting up a store today.
We are. One of the great things about this wine festival is that you can taste and buy. So we have over 40 different wines here, from at least something from all of the wineries in the room. And you can just take something home with you that you loved.
Give me a couple that jump out at you, that you're dying to see reactions to and taste and meet.
You know, we have a great little BC selection. There's Tantalus, there's Meyer, there's Tyler Harleton, there's Blue Mountain.
You're in heaven.
I am in heaven.
You know, I think that's why people come to Top Drop. These are not all collected in one room ever. They're the only ones doing it.
Yeah, they're not so mainstream, not the household names, but these are fabulous small artisan producers who...
Sustainable, yes, organic.
Exactly, all of those things. And they're here to connect with you and to really help you make sense of their wine. So it's small, it's independent, it's momentous. It's a really profound festival.
Thank you, Deej.
Thanks so much, TDM.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
It's Top Drop Vancouver 2018, year five. And I have David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager from Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. David, you were at the first Top Drop Vancouver in 2014, were you not, as Tantalus?
I know I was. I've volunteered for this a couple of times, come down and emptied spit buckets and things like that when we're not showing.
Why?
It's the best wine show of the year, I think. The quality of producer, the quality of trade that turns out is pretty exceptional, and it's at just the right size that everyone can have a chat to everyone.
The fact that they all show up here at the Roundhouse is quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's really, I mean, it's great to see it 5 years in and the word's out that this is a pretty good show to sell some wine at.
All right, what's happened in those 5 years at Tantalus?
Well, I've taken over as general manager as well as winemaker. We've bought lots of new fun toys, new sprayers and tractors and
woo-hoo!
All of that. Really just putting everything into the vineyard and improving all the old vines that, you know, we're in a pretty cold climate. We have some pretty gnarly old vines.
What did you plant, you yourself? What did you want to plant in those 5 years?
So we're sticking to our guns. We, you know, we're a Riesling house that does Pinot and Chardonnay very well as well. We haven't got any need to branch out from there. We have too much demand on those wines anyway.
I did see a phrase went by yesterday that said, find a Riesling grower maker that makes Chardonnay,
yes,
and you've struck gold.
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree. I mean, that was mentioned in Calgary and, mentioned at the Chardonnay conference or Chardonnay seminar yesterday as well. I think, Riesling makers have maybe a bit more of an appreciation for acidity than some other winemakers. So stands to reason that if you put really good Chardonnay in someone like that's hands, they're going to make a very nervous, tense, delicious Chardonnay.
David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager at Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. You brought your Pinot, your 2015.
Yeah.
Well, what's the clonal makeup of your 2015 Pinot?
So the base would be 115 and 667, a little bit of 777 and 828.
It's remarkable how each adds something to the final blend.
It does, yeah. It's to me, it's still hard to tell whether it is definitely clone or whether it's the piece of land that clone's on that's expressing different. But for sure, without a doubt, when you go through and taste the barrels from those different parcels, there's a big difference.
David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager at Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. Okay, David, last question, and that is the future for the Okanagan. Mm-hmm. How does it feel? What's your gut tell you?
I think the future is extremely bright when you have gentlemen like Anthony von Mandel doubling down in our own backyard. He could have gone anywhere. He could have bought a Bordeaux house or a Tuscany house, and he decided to go again in the Okanagan is a great sign. The fact that Daryl Brook is taking all 1,000 acres organic is it just shows that our industry is maturing.
Yeah.
And with that maturity comes, you know, acquisitions. So some of the bigger guys are going to get bigger. That's happened everywhere around the world of wine. And some of the smaller guys won't survive. And if the competition's fierce and you need to be at the top of your game to stay in the game. So I think you've already seen an exponential raise in quality over the last 5 to 7 years, and I think you'll see that continue for the next 10. And we're already making world-class wines, and you'll see some truly exceptional wines off the cold terroirs that we have in the Okanagan.
He knows what he's talking about. David Patterson, the winemaker and general manager, Tantalus Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. Give them a visit. I'm going to try the Pinot Noir on your behalf. It's a research thing.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
It was literally 2-3 weeks ago that I got into a serious discussion with Jay Drysdale just about wines in general and British Columbia and their wines. And what I remember most, Jay Drysdale, about that conversation was your lament about the fact that you couldn't get your hands on more Gamay.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, yeah, I just lost another vineyard yesterday and scooped out from under me to another winery, and yeah, it's getting a little shifty and shady. And
you may have to grow your own, you know that.
Oh, we're still planting, but yeah, then you gotta weather the, you know, 4 or 5 years. And because I want to farm sustainably and naturally, we don't see the same crop loads that the same guys get when they jack their vineyards full of chemicals. So yeah, it's a long game, but you know, yeah, we're here to weather it, but it is frustrating, and yeah.
All right, so this room knows you. You're not, there's not too many surprises you can pull. What did you bring to pour?
We got some of our naturals, but what I'm really excited about is some of our reserves, like this guy that's been about 78 months on lees. Because, I mean, for me, it's, yeah, I'm just really trying to make the best wine I can, period. And this, for me, is kind of fun that, you know, it shows we've got the ageability. And
tell us about that.
Yeah, like this is the old Seacrest Vineyard there in Oliver, and, you know, gorgeous fruit. And this guy's been laid down for over 6 years. And you know, we just disgorged it prior to the show. I've got maybe like 10 cases left, not very much. But I just love the longevity that, you know, yeah, if we can take our time and make really good wine, I mean, the stuff will stand the test of time.
Give people the name of that wine.
This is our reserve. We're calling it just our West Side Reserve from 2011. And yeah, special disgorge date that, you know, this guy's been on lees for 78 months. And yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's, you know, for me, it was meant, my whole goal originally, and it still is to have world-class caliber wines coming out of BC. And I think this would give any grower champagne a run for its money. And,
of course.
Yeah.
So besides that, what else did you bring?
I got some really neat comparisons, like with two different vineyards of Gamay made exactly the same way naturally. I got two different vineyards of Chardonnay where you can actually see the difference between really healthy fruit and more stressed fruit. Like you can really taste those differences, which I think is so vitally important, especially as more winemakers start getting into, you know, less and less intervention. I think it has to have good fruit to begin with. And this is a good example of when the nutrients aren't there, you can physically taste and see or smell the stress that this wine goes through. And, you know, it's appealing, it's honest, but, you know, it's, yeah, it may not be everyone's cup of tea, but.
How many other natural wines in the room, do we know?
Oh, my God, so many.
A lot?
It's inspiring. I mean, last night we got to do an amazing dinner with Fordori and Gravner, and, you know, it's so inspiring to, you know, to be around people that have been pioneering this for, you know, generations now, and, yeah, it's exciting. This is like fueling the battery cells and getting us ready for another season. And yeah, just trying to make really awesome wine. So,
can people find Bella? Is there a sign up? Can a tour bus find you?
Little tour buses can. yeah, we're a little lower in production this year, so I think we'll be going to by appointment a bit earlier this year. But by all means, I mean, I always say I'm grateful if anyone can try and find us and make your way out, and I'll do whatever I can to get some bubbles in front of you. And
are you doing one project this summer that you want people to know about?
I'm emphasizing a bit more in natural traditional methods. So I'm using the same vineyard to inoculate with. Yeah. And I've got a couple more single vineyards coming that I'm pretty excited about. So, yeah.
He's Jay Drysdale, and he is Bella. He and his beloved are Bella. And they're pouring here at Top Drop year five. In the Roundhouse in Yale Town. It is a beautiful thing. I'm going to take a picture of that bottle right now. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first, remember Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And chef and partner Derek Gray said, now more than ever, we see how valuable, integral, and fragile our food system really is. We at Row 14 ask that you support your local farmer, grower, husbandry in times of need. Please remember to be kind to others, wash your hands, partake in laughter, and be safe. Derek Gray. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, our wine club events that we're planning for April and May have now been canceled or postponed, but we're going to go ahead with our regular wine club shipments. We're hoping that this is all temporary, but are making plans for it to last through the season. We want to encourage people to stay safe, be smart, and support local when possible. Buy from small family-owned producers and retailers who need help in these strange days. Take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. One more thing, the suites are still open for business. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They are offering free shipping for locals. They are doing a drive-through winery tent in the parking lot, respectful of social distancing. You can find The Hatch Wines at 3225 Boucherie Road, West Kelowna. They're open every day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Online, you can find them at Hash Wines. Or you can check out all the details at thehashwines.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. All of the details and the links can be found at tastingroomradio.com. We start with Top Drop Vancouver 2017, Curtis Colt's amazing small wine festival. What year is this?
This is the fourth year that we are doing Top Drop Vancouver.
And what have we learned in the first three?
You can never start planning early enough. We have 34 wineries from all around the world, including a handful of British Columbian wineries, along with a few craft breweries and cideries on hand. And it's just a really fun event from wineries who aren't in the market that often. So it's a really unique opportunity.
I was going to ask you about that. What's in it for the wineries, for the winemakers, for the principals? Why Vancouver and why Chop Chop?
I think because we are a smaller festival, and we really focus on smaller independent wineries, maybe ones especially with an organic biodynamic bent. And truth be told, these are the kind of wines that a lot of the sommeliers and wine directors really, really get excited about. And so because of that, we have a big turnout of the local wine trade, retail trade, who are buying these wines. We make sure that our trade tasting is nice and long. It's 3.5 hours, which is, tough on the feet of suppliers, but they really have a chance to have some good face time with local wine trade and to really ensure their stories are told. And same thing at the consumer events at night.
What did you ask them to pour?
You know what? That's we always leave up to them. If they want to really focus, drill down on two wines, great. If they want to throw 15 wines on the table and have people run the scales and do the whole thing, we're happy to let them do it. We really want, as much as we want our attendees and trade to be excited and happy, we also want the suppliers to as well.
Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Terry.
Curtis Colt, Top Drop Vancouver, year 4.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. Celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
I have the Pender brothers here at Top Drop 2017. Paul Pender, Reese Pender. Have you talked about family heritage? How many Penders are there in the wine business?
We haven't figured out any link yet, but we're, maybe over a couple of good bottles one night, we'll pull out the family trees and see,
That's how family trees start, with a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
All right. What was the exercise here today?
It was great. We were all talking about our wines and our organics and biodynamics and the pros and cons of certifying or not.
Okay, let me ask that question. The great unwashed, the general wine-buying public, do they give a hoot about dynamics or sustainability or those things that we talk about so much?
Yeah, I think they do. I think more and more people want to know, everything from their food to their wine, like where does their food come from? How is it treated? What's done to it, what's not done to it. And there's enough scare stories that people are kind of looking for things that are a little more pure, a little more real, and a little less messed with. And so, to see organic or biodynamic on a label is kind of like a guarantee for people that they're getting something that's more pure. So increasingly, I find there's people looking for that.
You agree, disagree?
I would say that the average consumer, organics is important. I think they see that. They understand what organics is. Biodynamics to the average consumer means nothing. For people who are really into wine, it's important. I think it's that extra step, that little extra 1% or 2% you're doing to...
And why is it important to them?
I think there's an association with wine growers who are biodynamic that there is a terroir focus. There is a focus on the soil, on the land, and a focus on making great wines.
I have the Pender brothers here at Top Drop 2017. Paul Pender, Reese Pender, what did you pour today?
We poured our Riesling, 2015 Riesling, and a just-to-be-released 2016 Cabernet Franc.
And I poured a 2015 Riesling from our Quarry Road Vineyard and a 2012 Cherry Ave Pinot Noir.
Tell me about, first of all, the Taz wines that he brought.
Paul's wines are always amazing and just such a pure reflection of the different vineyard sites they work with, and I think that's why I like them. There every year there's that taste of the place in the wine, and for me that's important. For wine geeks, that's important to get that. And so the Riesling's always really great purity, great minerality from that Quarry Road vineyard, and then the beautiful silky Pinot Noir. Delicious.
How about Little Farm?
I was a big fan of the Riesling as well. I drank it last night at an event, and that was the wine I kept going back for more of. There's great mineral notes in this wine, and it's the opposite way that I would do it, but I love drinking it. We always leave a little residual sugar and a little sweetness to balance the acidity, and Reese takes it bone dry, which I I've always wanted to do but never done. So I'm feeling inspired now.
Now, what's preventing you from doing that? Is it, for example, it begs the question, are your wine drinkers back east different from what we want?
No, I think that it's a style we've developed over the years, and we're always looking for balance.
And that's why we come to you.
Yeah, and we're that balance is on a, it's on a pendulum, and it's not always in the same spot. And I think, you know, your tastes change. And what I liked 10 years ago, I don't necessarily like now. And I think once you say, I'm never going to make another change, yeah, you've lost the game.
What else was poured today?
Oh, we had some beautiful Italian wines, sort of fairly natural wines, to use that scary word, and some lovely Californian, a beautiful hilltop Pritchard Hill Cabernet Sauvignon that was really nice and elegant, and yeah, some Garganega from the Veneto, and Sangiovese and Montepulciano blends out of Maremma. Yeah,
and
some
Amarone.
Yeah.
Fun. It was a really fun mix of wines.
The Pender brothers here at Top Drop 2017. Paul Pender, Reese Pender. What's the rest of the year look like for you, Paul?
Rest of the year? Well,
great. Do you have any surprises that you want to tell us about now?
Well, we are working on distillation. So we're going to put a little still in at Taz and do some grape-based spirits, and along with some gins and vodkas, and a little bit of rye, because we are in Canada and we do make some good rye.
And you?
I don't know yet what the year holds ahead. Nothing too new. We have an orange Riesling coming out, which is kind of a fun little experiment.
Why are you messing with the law of the land?
I don't know. That's just what we do. When we originally started Little Farm, we were going to just only make two wines. Now we have eight. So, damn it. Yeah.
Okay, if you just make enough rosé, we'll go away.
We made more rosé for you this year, Terry.
Thank you. Paul Pender, did you have a hand in the Cuddy?
Yes, I did. Yes.
How were the blending sessions?
You know what? Jim was incredibly focused. Not that I would expect anything different. I think he's a very disciplined musician and puts on a great show night after night after night. And to have done that for so many years and to maintain the enthusiasm and the energy takes a very disciplined person. So the tasting sessions are great. We come down, I have all the wines out in front, and we'll try from about seven or eight different possible wines that can go into the blend. And over the course of the afternoon, we narrow it down. We always taste blind in the end. We don't want to be influenced by our own decisions, because we always like what we choose. And in the end, tasting blind, both times Jim and I have always agreed on which wine we think should be the final blend. So if it comes down to an arm wrestle, I'm not sure what we'll have to do.
Very cool. I'll see you at Bloom.
Yes, definitely, yep.
And I'll see you at Skitchene Lake in Lodge.
Skitchene, looking forward to it.
Okay, so, yeah, thank you. The Penders, the Brothers Pender. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
She is Christine Coletta, and she is the leader of the team at Okanagan Fresh Pad, Haywire, and everything else that they'll be making in the coming years. Did I explain that it was fire test day at Wildebeest, and they're testing the fire system, but we'll just work our way around it. How was your event? What was it called?
I was at a sparkling wine seminar, and it was fantastic. We had wines from all over the world, people representing different styles, some vintage dated, some non-vintage, some Charmat, some traditional method, and our ancient method.
Now, what did you choose to pour representing us?
I was pouring our narrative ancient method and our Haywire the Bub. So two different wines.
They might have tasted something like the Bub before, maybe somewhere in their travels, but what about that ancient method?
The ancient method was one of a kind at the tasting. We start the fermentation process in the cellar. In 2013, it was done in stainless steel tanks. And then when the wine reaches a sugar level of about 22 Brix, we then, or 22 grams per liter, I should say, we then bottle it, and we let the fermentation process finish in the bottle. Now, the reason we do that is that we're trying not to add anything to our wines, as you know, and make them as natural as possible. And by using this method, we don't have to add commercial yeast to go through a secondary fermentation.
Right. The end result is?
The end result is really interesting. I love the style, and we started making it in we made some in 2012. It was a complete disaster. We did everything wrong. Fortunately, we only made 12 cases, and we have those in the library. They will never be released.
As a reminder
of what not to do. So in 2013, we made it from Chardonnay grapes, which actually came from Michael Barche's Sakura Vineyard in Oliver. And 2013 was a hot year, so we probably could have picked the grapes a little bit sooner than we did. So the wine is a nice golden color. It's very delicious. But every year we're sort of fine-tuning what we do, and we're getting better and better at it.
And the bub, you can't make it fast enough, right?
The bub we cannot make fast enough. Our big dilemma is that we have about 500 cases a year that we put away as a reserve program. We started that in 2012. And so we're just itching to release that wine. But we're now making about 1,200 cases of the bub every year.
And how many splits? How many small bottles?
We're making about 200 small bottles.
Could you make more?
Yes.
I'm thinking picnic.
I'm thinking we will, definitely. It's just about getting the grape supply and also building up our inventory. As we talked about in our seminar earlier, sparkling wine is a really expensive undertaking because you're, you know, putting a lot of those wines away for many years. There was one fellow there that the base wine that he had was from 2009.
Don't you like being part of Top Drop?
I do. I'm really excited. We're one of six BC wineries that are going to be participating this year. We're in really good company.
And just remind people how one qualifies.
How we qualify?
Well, I mean, you have to be sustainable.
We're sustainable. We're
organic intentions.
Organic, you know, not commercial in any way. So I think the translation of that is that you have no desire to make money.
Wait a minute. You are commercially successful.
We are, but we like to approach the wines that we make. We approach them in a very hands-on, artisan way.
She is Christine Coletta at Okanagan Trash Pad, Haywire. All right, an update on the Garnet Valley above you.
Garnet Valley, we're busy planting another 6 acres of Chardonnay this year, again, so we can increase our sparkling wine program. Everything's looking great.
Does the Pinot like it up there?
The Pinot loves it there. Yes, it really does. We had about 10 tons, making it the most expensive per ton that we got last year after all that work. But it's really exciting to see what's coming off of that vineyard.
She is Christine Coletta with Okanagan Crush Pad and Haywire. Any surprises? Anything you want to announce now? Go ahead. It's okay.
We are actually working on a Cab Franc that we're going to be releasing under our narrative label this year.
Nice.
In terms of surprises, I'm kind of trying to keep things status quo for a while. I know that's something...
Wow. No, that's very good.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I don't
status
normally...
Status quo is working well.
I normally don't say that. But yeah, we're trying to just be status quo for a while.
But you did like hanging with the bubble people.
I really did. Yeah, nice group.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Christine Coletta, Okanagan Crush Pad. This is Tasting Room Radio at Top Drop 2017.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They are offering free shipping for locals. They are doing a drive-through winery tent in the parking lot, respectful of social distancing. You can find The Hatch Wines at 3225 Boucherie Road, West Kelowna. They're open every day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Online, you can find them at Hatch Wines. Or you can check out all the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com.
K-I-T-S-C-H, Kitsch. Kitsch Wines pouring here at Top Drop 2019 in Victoria. It's a big deal for Victoria and for the island, simply because this is one of the great small gatherings of winemakers, growers, people all connected by one common instinct, and that is to not mess around with the wines, let the wines do the talking. His voice is failing him badly, but he's been 3 days on the road pouring for roomfuls of people. Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitsch in the Okanagan Valley. First of all, tell me what you're pouring at the table while I look at my notes.
First of all, thanks for having me on. We're pouring our portfolio today. It's gonna be fun.
Where have you been these last couple of days? Tell me about that.
I've been talking more these last couple of days than I have in my entire life. We're participating at Top Drop in Vancouver, a seminar, a dinner, trade and consumer tastings, and now we're here in Victoria. And we are pouring our entire portfolio. Winery is located in East Kelowna. We're growing aromatic whites and Pinot Noir. So today we're pouring the entire portfolio, which consists of Block Party, which is a wine that comprises of all the grapes we grow on site.
Hold on, I got to ask you about that Block Party.
Yes.
Does Block Party qualify as a field blend?
That's exactly what it is. It's 60% Chardonnay, 25% Riesling, 15% Pinot Gris, and 5% Pinot Noir.
Now, I'm doing a special on field blends because I'm fascinated by them. I'm also fascinated by the fact that many wineries and winemakers don't put field blend on the label.
I think the Block Party to us speaks to it being a field blend, all of our blocks together, yeah. Having a bit of a party.
Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir. It's fantastic. Kitch Wines, Kelowna, Grant Biggs is the winemaker. What else are you pouring over there?
Two Chardonnays, more of a Chablis style and then more of a New World style, featuring two Rieslings as well, which are from separate blocks, the Esther's block and the Maria's block. Again, drier style in the Esther's and more of a Germanic or Mosel style in the Maria's block. Pinot Gris, stainless steel fermented, really bright and vibrant. That is a quintessential Okanagan style Pinot Gris, so like a lot of apples, pears, and honey on the nose and palate. And last but not least, the heartbreak grape, the one I'm fond of, Pinot Noir.
Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitch Wines in the Okanagan Valley. Are you looking forward to and have you submitted your Pinot Noir for the Pinot Noir gathering in August in Kelowna?
Yeah, I didn't have to submit because I'm on the organizing board, but I did anyway, and I was very, very happy to see the blind tasting results from that and see where we stacked up, and I'm really looking forward to that Pinot Noir celebration in August this
it's
year.
It's astonishing,
yeah.
How different one from the other can be.
I couldn't agree more. When you look at the Okanagan from a Soyuz up to Kamloops, really now with Pinot Noir growing in all of those regions, you're going to definitely get different styles of Pinot Noir resulting from those different microclimates.
But different clones?
And different clones, different winemakers.
Grant Biggs, who's the winemaker at Kitch. So your Pinot, is it a single clone or did you mix your clones?
Pinot Noir is a blend of clones 115 and 828.
There you go.
So I use 35% whole cluster on that Pinot Noir. So just stemming 65%, leaving 35% on the cluster. To me, Pinot Noir is a delicate, yeah. Soft, pretty grape. And so I treat it really delicately and softly. I'm from Port Alberni on Vancouver Island, so coming back to pour at Top Drop here in Victoria is dear to my heart. And when I approach making Pinot, it's an ode to Vancouver Island. I love salmon, being from the salmon capital of the world. The style of Pinot that I make is for me to personally pair with the West Coast salmon that we see here.
Okay, hold on a second. First of all, it's not the salmon capital of the world. Campbell River is the salmon capital of the world. Port Renfrew is the salmon capital of the world.
We put our sign up first. We put our sign up first.
You clued it. Yuki is the salmon capital.
Hey, Port Alberni put their sign up first.
Thank you for this. And congratulations on your invite to this event.
And I'm very, very proud, as this is an invite-only event, to be included with the likes of the other BC producers here, the other international producers. I'd say, personally, this is the biggest compliment I've ever received.
Congratulations. I'll see you in Kelowna.
Thanks, sir.
Showing the wear and tear of 3 days of wine tasting, wine pouring. Grant Biggs, the winemaker at Kitch.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three.
Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio, in Victoria for Top Drop 1, the Top Drop Victoria. courtesy of our friends at Vessel. And we're talking to Tyler Knight, who is the co-founder and partner of Jordan Kubek at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. Great wines. Is Jordan with you?
No, she's not here today.
Oh, she's smart.
She's at home with the baby.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
You've been making wine in Summerlin for 8 years.
Yep, that's right.
How did you get started? What and why?
Well, my lovely wife, Jordan, got me started in wine. So she's sort of the trained winemaker of the two of us. What was attractive to me about winemaking was, first the culture. So we actually are starting to get a really interesting sort of small community in the Okanagan, a younger sort of people trying to do more exciting things, I guess, trying to find like an actual identity.
New names, new faces.
Also the ability to travel. So we both, when we were working at Crush Pad in the wintertime, we'd go down south and do vintages. So, it allowed me to travel to South Africa, Chile, Australia, New Zealand, and learn from winemakers around the world.
As a team, we do everything we can to ensure quality from vine to bottle to table. Is that something that wasn't imposed on you? You just decided to do that.
It has to do, again, with sort of the lifestyle. Every part of the process is super important to us. Being in control of growing the grapes, I think, is probably more important.
Yeah.
We spend a lot more time in the vineyard than we do in the cellar, to be totally honest. We strive to not do anything in the winery. And to do that, you really have to have healthy fruit. To have a hand in that is super important to us.
You have, like, you can go and purchase fruit.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing as having your fruit and growing it.
Yeah, again, and we're kind of control freaks that way. It's really like we need to be in control of the whole process.
But, of course, everybody else is looking for the same fruit.
Yeah.
And the same space. And then.
And in that way, again, it's really important to own your own land. That way our fruit is a constant. We're always going to have that fruit. We're not fighting anyone for supply.
Representing his wife, Jordan Kubek, he's Tyler Knight, Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. What are you pouring today? Because you have a very busy table.
Sure, yeah. So we're pouring our sparkling wine, 2017 Blanc de Noir. We're pouring from 2017 as well our Viognier from Alicia Vineyard, 2018 Canyon View Vineyard Chardonnay. So we bought Canyon View Vineyard in 2018. It was our first vintage with that fruit. That's a beautiful vineyard. We're also pouring our rosé from 2017. It's a pretty fun one, a bit of a Tavel style, darker, and our 2017 Pinot Noir.
Well, I love the Pinot Noir. That's just in my mouth. But the rosé, I love the fact that, first of all, you make no apologies. It is much darker than what we see on shelves these days, and you use the word Tavel. That's all they make is rosé and Tavel. It goes darker, darker, darker. Tell me about the conversation about the color that you wanted to come away with. Or was it taste first, color second?
It was taste first. So we, in 2016, me and my wife rented a van and we drove around Europe for a few weeks. It was kind of this really organic, like we didn't really have appointments with anyone. So a friend of a friend of a friend made an appointment for us at Langlore in Tavel. And they were kind enough to keep us around for a couple of days. We helped them out a little bit in the vineyard, and they showed us around the winery and stuff, and we fell in love with the style of rosé. We wanted to make something a little different, a little more fun. To me, it's a little bit more, it's more versatile. So something like that, you can actually pair very easily with food, but it's also pretty easy to just drink a bottle on the patio.
Your top drop, Victoria, and we're talking to Tyler Knight, who is the co-founder and partner of Jordan Kubek at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin. Tyler, I have a question about, you and I both know, this whole room knows, that when you see wineries that we all grew up with being swallowed up, we know the Okanagan is changing. What happens to the smaller wineries? How do they exist? How do they survive?
I think that, again, going back to community, We have not just in the wine grower and wine making community. I think we have a really good wine consuming community as well. People know who the small guys are. People love, not only from a quality perspective. I think the more time that you spend in the vineyard and the cellar, doing all this kind of stuff yourself, and the smaller the production. To be honest, like the size of a batch makes a huge difference in the quality of the wine. We have a good enough, a strong enough community around supporting, small local businesses, especially in the Okanagan, that I'm not too worried about it.
And the last thing is, how do you like the invite to Top Drop?
Oh, man, we were so honored. It's there's a long line of people who've been at this festival and who are at this festival today. And yeah, to be a new winery and to get this invite really means a lot to us. It's really exciting, actually, to be, you know, shoulder to shoulder with some Okanagan legends.
Congratulations on your wines.
Cheers. Thanks
and
so much.
And your 8 years. Please say hello to Jordan for me. Thank you.
I will. Thank you very much.
Tyler Knight, the co-owner, co-founder of Lightning Rock Winery in Summerlin.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Top Drop, this is year one in Victoria, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. How many Top Drops have you attended or been at?
This is our second one.
And what does it mean to get that invite? Because you realize that they have a lot of choices, and they're looking for very special people.
It was actually, I considered it an honor. And the reason we were invited the first time was because we had some unique varietals like Dolcetto and Terroir to go to show. So that was something that the guys that run at Curtis really were attracted to and wanted us involved.
We're at Top Drop Victoria, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. What are you pouring today?
2018 Albirino. Yeah. And to me, that's one of probably the best ones we've ever done. And the 2017 won Platinum Awards at Wine Alliance. So I think this one's a keeper, too, and a really, really good version of Albirino.
How many cases of that Albirino?
We're doing about 450-ish now. And Albirino is an interesting grape to grow. It's a challenging grape to grow.
If you like what, you should have a look at Albirino.
To me, if you really enjoy Sauvignon Blanc, and you enjoy Viognier, and you enjoy Riesling,
okay,
you combine the three.
Okay. Hands down. Very good. What else are you pouring today?
We're pouring our Shuttleworth Pinot Noir. So there are at least five different clones in that we planted in 2012 at that vineyard. And so we've got the Pommard clone 114, 115, 667, 777, and 828 going into that blend.
Do you make them individually and then blend?
Yes. We really like to see what each clone brings to the table, and then sometimes it's really good and we move it into our Renaissance series of Pinot Noir.
We're at Top Drop Victoria, the first. A couple of nights ago, it was Top Drop 6 in Vancouver, and of course Calgary's included in that as well. It's now a mini tour, and we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. What else is on the table today?
We have our Dolcetto, of course our Albirino, our Tragically Fidèle. When we bought our vineyard in 1992, it was in the vineyard. You know, we almost pulled it out at one point. That's why it's tagged Tragically Fidèle, because it's probably one of the best-selling wines we have in the wine shop when people taste it. It just has this incredible bouquet and depth to vines that are now over 30 years old.
Is there anything else we've forgotten on the red side?
Of course I have. Now I can't remember what else is there.
You want to take a look?
Yeah. Well, it's a Renaissance Merlot. It also is a little bit of a field blend. It has a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon that was misplanted in the first four rows of the Merlot block. And we ripen those first four rows to make sure the Cab Sav is right. And then we pick that together. And that's our main portion of, or used to be our main portion of the Renaissance Merlot. It's now morphed mostly going towards the Meritage.
We're at Top Drop Victoria. And we're talking with the co-founder of Stags Hollow, Larry Girolis. Any surprises either on the table or under them?
The Terroir de Gaulle. Of course, that's another unique Italian grape that we do.
Aren't you proud of the fact that Stags Hollow is here pouring with these peers from around the world that you're recognized for your work, the work that goes in?
It almost feels like being accepted to a special club.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Larry Girolis, the co-founder of Stags Hollow in the Okanagan.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13 on the Golden Mile. At Road 13, they are temporarily suspending tastings in the lounge and the castle and winery tours. And to Club 13 members and guests, Road 13 is accommodating your requests for purchase with minimal interruption. You can pick up your wines at the winery and load it into your vehicle by the staff, Or they can arrange complimentary shipping by courier directly to your home or location of your preference. The goal at Road 13 is to make it as seamless as possible. You can find all the information you need and updates at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's a heads up on what's going on there now. The Wine Club, they're offering a 10% discount on all purchases from the online store, on all case orders from the online store, free shipping to Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland, 50% discounted shipping to the rest of Canada. The restaurant is open noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday for pickup. Check their website for menu and pickup details. If you want to pick up your online wine order from the tasting room, that's between 3 and 4:30 Monday to Thursday. Online order pickup from the restaurant, 12 noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Top Drop Victoria Year 1, courtesy of Vessel, the wonderful wine store in downtown Victoria. Here's one of the things that caught my eye right away. Well, I knew about A Sunday in August. I knew about the brand, okay, the branding and the title, but I had never met Michael Schindler until this very moment, and he's standing in front of me, having had lunch and coffee.
Yes, I just had a lunch and coffee, and it came over on the 9 a.m. ferry, so a little bit foggy still.
How was Top Drop Vancouver?
It was fantastic, yeah. Really, really good crowd. A lot of the kind of key people you want to meet from the industry portion, and then a really open-minded, fun kind of consumer crowd. So really fun, yeah.
And what did you decide to pour?
I brought a Pinot Gris with some skin contact on it, and Cab Merlot, 75 Merlot, 25 Cabernet Sauvignon from a single vineyard in Carmias.
Michael, the name implies A Sunday in August. A different approach. It's just a name, just the branding alone. And I know that you thought long and hard about what to call yeah, the label. So what does the name say to us besides a great phrase?
I think what we're trying to produce here, we're making natural wines, wines that are a bit more kind of expressive of the area. We're not adding a bunch of things to the wines. So we're trying to really just express what the grapes are doing. The branding behind it is really just trying to bring a sense of joy and a sense of kind of easiness with the wine. So they're not supposed to be pretentious. We're not making big Burgundies or Bordeaux or anything like that. We're trying to just take a farm product and express to you that you can drink this with your friends, with your family, and have a nice time. Drink it with food and just keep the pretension and keep down and the joy up.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring A Sunday in August. You want to know about this wine. My friends at Scout Magazine got a quote from you. We wanted the brand to represent a feeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One of my friends said originally when we were kind of talking about it, she said, you're trying to bottle a feeling. And I said, yeah, of course. Okay. So we want the imagery to match how the wines taste and how they make you feel.
Diving, rowing, one of my favorites because mm-hmm. I have a rowboat, and my fave, field blend. Did mm-hmm. I just imagine that you put the words field blend in the middle of the label?
Yeah, we had a field blend from our 2016 vintage that was a blend of Gewurztraminer and Riesling from the same vineyard. And I think part of it is, you know, I love the idea of a field and being out in nature in the summer. So we just kind of wanted to give it that sense that these grapes are obviously a product that come from a field and to kind of bring that sense of lightness to the, to
but I
the
mean,
product.
It's not like the Portuguese where they'll do 25, 30, 35.
No, it's only two grapes in that.
Okay. Yeah. And do you still make it?
No, okay. No, but maybe in the future.
Well, that's what I was mm-hmm. going to ask because I'm kind of doing a special on field blends.
Oh, cool.
What do you think? What would you, if you could,
yeah,
on paper, what would you put in a field to blend?
I would love to do like a red, white co-ferment kind of thing. So kind of like that Rayu style. So that could be kind of cool. There's so many aromatic grapes in the Okanagan and the Similkameen, so I think sometimes they lend themselves well to being blended with other grapes. So you get the Gewurztraminers and Rieslings kind of together, and it kind of complements the acid of the Riesling for the kind of low acid of the Gewurz. But to be honest, I'm really open to kind of whatever I can sort of get. So yeah, as far as like grapes go, we kind of assess what we have coming into harvest and what we're able to attain, and then we sort of figure out how we want to make the wines from there.
Are you a negociant still?
Yeah, yeah,
still,
yeah.
Because okay. You access from
Oliver, Naramata, Karamias, the Similkameen, Sperling, and East Kelowna. Still to this day?
Yeah.
Are you going to grow your own at some point, do you think?
I would love to, yeah. It's just a bit of a barrier to entry with the land prices. And
he is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring a Sunday in August. It's his passion. You want to know about this wine. Do you really only... I have so many questions. Do you really only make 25 cases of Chard?
I made one barrel of Chard this year.
Did you bring it?
No.
The Pet Nat from Sperling?
Yeah, the Pet Nat is a Pinot Blanc from Sperling, so biodynamically farmed. Really fun wine, bright, kind of lots of aromatics. Very difficult to make, so we made about 150 cases. They're all sold out already.
Did you steal the Pinot Noir from Naramata? You can admit it now.
Did I steal it?
I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Who could go into Naramata and get some, you know, 75 cases of Pinot?
This was from a really small, like, kind of garden vineyard. So it had a bunch of different stuff on it. And through a friend who was taking some other stuff, he didn't want the Pinot Noir, so we grabbed that. So
he didn't want the Pinot?
No. So, you know.
How'd it turn out?
Different strokes, different folks. It turned out very light. So it's like a... not a kind of classic style Pinot Noir. It's very light. We put it on a chill, and it's kind of a summer fun patio wine. It's not super serious.
Okay.
I love it. It's one of my favorite ones this
okay.
year. Yeah.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring a Sunday in August. It's his passion. I do know one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have to look at the table to know that because you made 350 cases of the Cab Merlot,
yeah.
it's got to be on the table.
It's on the table right there, yeah. And it's drinking amazingly right now.
From Karamias.
Yeah, so single vineyard, organic in Karamias. Much lighter style than you're used to in BC. So we picked half the grapes about a month early. So really low sugar, high acid. And that's just to brighten it up and give the wine a real brightness to it. And then we picked the other half later, kind of almost end of October. And that's to kind of give it some roundness and a bit more body.
You have said, Michael, in the past, I really don't know what I'm doing, to be honest.
Yeah, totally.
How are you doing now?
Just constant imposter syndrome. Yeah. I mean, everything is such a learning curve, especially with winemaking. It's like you never kind of figure it all out. And I definitely feel like I take one step forward and 50 steps backwards.
Okay.
But you know, everyone's been really kind of generous with knowledge sharing and whatnot. And so we're learning slowly as we go.
So how much is creative? How much is passion? And how much is inventive?
Are they all the same?
It
seems
could
like
be.
It's, yeah, I think it's all kind of, you mean with regard to making the wine?
Yeah. Is it gut instinct?
I think there's a lot of tasting which is involved, so kind of knowing what you want it to taste like and tasting three things constantly while you're making the wines. You know, we have an idea before we start making the wines of what we want to do, but there's also a ton of stuff that just happens because we're not putting a ton of things in the wine.
Does it make you giggle when you get it right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a real sense of happiness. I think my favorite kind of part of the process is when the ferments really start. And you can see them bubbling, and they have all this kind of energy and excitement in them, and you can feel the heat from them, and I really enjoy that. Yeah.
He is Michael Schindler, and he is pouring a Sunday in August. How do you feel about being invited to Top Drop?
I'm just over the moon. It's such an honor to be here. The people here are very supportive. Everyone's kind of got this real excitement to them about the event, so yeah, I'm just over the moon. It's a wonderful event. I'm so happy
to
be
here. Can people visit you? Where's the winery?
We don't have a consumer-facing tasting room, so
Nothing.
This is it.
This is it right here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Or you got to come see us at a restaurant or at one of our friendly stores that carry us.
No tour buses?
No tour buses.
No bands playing in the venue?
No bands. No stags or stagettes. Although that would be fun. No. It's just, we just do everything wholesale and export.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so
Congratulations.
Much.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Michael Schindler, the founder of A Sunday in August.
This is Tasting Room Radio. A home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Top Drop Victoria Year 1, and someone has to represent Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands. It's Unsworth. Dan Wright is the winemaker.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
You're in pretty cool company here, Dan.
Yes, it is. Cool room. I'm good company for sure.
Which wines catch your eye? Somebody maybe you haven't tasted before or just read about?
My friend Jordan Kubik's new company, Lightning Rock. Right. I'm excited to taste that. I haven't tasted it yet, even though I know her. I just met her husband. And there's some Rhone wines on the table over there that looks pretty interesting. I'm not even sure who all is here yet, to be honest.
Wakefield's here.
Wakefield, yeah.
Okay. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Let's talk about Unsworth for a second. What did you bring to pour?
We brought our two Charme de Lille Rosé and the White, which are our signature Charmat method sparkling wines. We brought our classic 2018 Rosé, just released, still Rosé that is, and our 2018 Pinot Gris.
Okay, let's go to the Rosé for a second because it is hugely popular. Are you making more, and have you had to change how you make that Rosé?
We've increased a little bit because of demand, but no, I'm basically making it the same way. We do a short skin contact, and because I'm making a little bit more, I can do multiple ferments, which just adds more complexity. So I do three different ferments at three different skin contact times, one overnight, one maybe 6 hours, one maybe 4 hours. It gives me a nice palette to paint with to kind of target our pale salmon pink color.
Are we talking palette, or are we talking color, or are you trying to find a balance between the two?
I was sort of using it as a color palette because it's rosé, but of course it also gives you different flavors for your palette as well. So a little bit more complexity as we're doing. As we make a little bit more, we can do multiple small ferments, and that gives us more interesting.
I've received a couple of bottles of a gorgeous pink.
Thank you.
Tell me about that new release. There's a reserve?
Oh, yeah. So we made this year a single vineyard rosé from a vineyard in Saanich called Sunnydale Vineyards. And it's a beautiful south-facing slope on Mount Newton for those that are familiar with the islands. And it's a granite soils, so really mineral-driven. And we used a Provençal method called stabulation. Now, I can explain that if you want. It's kind of geeky, but...
Well, give me the short geek.
Okay, basically we keep it on juice lees for about 3 weeks, stirring the juice lees every day with dry ice, and that builds complexity and builds texture in the wine without keeping it on skins longer, so you don't get more color extraction. We kept it really bone dry, but with that texture, there's a roundness to the palate. And
light and delicate.
And very light and delicate.
And so you needed a special bottle to showcase it.
Exactly. And it was a good opportunity to celebrate our 10th anniversary as a company.
What's the official title on the bottle?
2018 10th Anniversary Rosé Sunnydale Vineyard. It has a big, long title. I don't know what the official title is.
You'll know it when you see it, yes.
Yeah.
Do we know what the price point is?
I believe 28 retail.
Wonderful. Happy 10th. He's Dan Wright. He's the winemaker at Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. All right, so what else is on the table?
So we have our Pinot Gris, 2018 Pinot Gris, and I guess for those that are listening and want a secret one, we brought our 2017 Pinot Noir just under the table for a little sneaky, cheeky pour.
And the Charme is extremely popular and getting more so.
Our Charme Rosé is now taking off as well. Yeah. A couple of restaurants in Vancouver pouring that by the glass, and it seems to be growing for us. So, yeah.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's a heads up on what's going on there now. The Wine Club, they're offering a 10% discount on all purchases from the online store. On all case orders from the online store, free shipping to Vancouver Island and the Lower Mainland, 50% discounted shipping to the rest of Canada. The restaurant is open noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday for pickup. Check their website for menu and pickup details. If you want to pick up your online wine order from the tasting room, that's between 3 and 4:30 Monday to Thursday. Online order pickup from the restaurant, 12 noon to 7 p.m. Friday to Sunday. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.